Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. Episode 43. I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me, as always, is
Pat.
And joining us again is
Alex.
Yay! All right, we've got a nice, fun-packed show for you today. We're going to be starting off or talking about some comic news, specifically about DC. There's a little bit of pop culture fun stuff happening around the world of cinema and and TV. We've got Disney Plus news, some major stuff there. Got a couple comic reviews for you at the end of the show, but first we're going to start out with some trailer reactions. It's been a busy couple weeks when it comes to major releases for 2019. Speaking of which, today, about 30 minutes, maybe 15 minutes ago, we just saw this trailer for Star Wars Episode 9, which I will refrain to talk about the title just in case, you know, people want to stop this right now and go watch the trailer.
Initial thoughts? The teaser trailer was just released, and it is like a teaser trailer. You get a few scenes, is like one line of dialogue,
right,
and then like an interesting like reveal at the end. Cool.
Yeah.
So,
Alex,
I really liked the beginning. You know, it was ominous. It seemed like it really had build up, and then at the end, it kind of felt like they were just thrown in random pieces of film.
I love this. Landed every way that I needed to land. It showed me this is Rey's story. Thank you. I need it to be Rey's story. I love Rey. It's her confrontation with Kylo Ren. It's very obvious, very strong. The fact that they didn't hide two things that I thought were going to be hidden. Number one was Mark Hamill. He does the voiceover for the entire thing. Luke Skywalker is telling the story, telling Rey what the journey is, where it's coming to a head, and then the fact that we hear Emperor Palpatine's laughter at the end of the trailer, coinciding with the line, "No one is ever really gone." Mm. So, you know, for as much as Kylo Ren is the big bad, what is the what's the direction of the story? And to your point, Alex, about like just basically a clip show at the end of the trailer, right? It's fan service, right? We need to know that Lando's going to sit in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. You know, that's gonna appease the super Star Wars crowd like myself who I need those moments. I also really like, and I will probably do a major trailer analyzation at a later date. Maybe I'll record that for you guys because I'm such a super super nerd and super analytical when it comes to this stuff. Kylo Ren building his helmet again, putting it back together and welding the seams. There was whether or not that planet that we saw was Jeddah, was that planet Jakku, or was that Tatooine? There's several different places that desert could be. Or a whole new planet. Weird concept in Star Wars. Let's not go back to some place we've been before. So, yeah.
Cool.
I loved it. I was really happy. What you're hearing here is them letting me just go off the rails.
Yes. Alex and I are just kind of staring blankly at it. He continues to drop more.
But Rey is the Avatar. She has all of the Jedi inside her.
Sure. If you say so, Matt.
All right. Well,
it sounds like it's a good trailer for a Star Wars fan.
Yeah. It might just be the hype right now, you know. Yeah. Regardless of whether or not the trailer is actually good, it's like I'm so ready for it, so I'm going to eat it up. So, but I'll be watching it 7-8 times today. I'm watching it on my big screen at home. So
on the big screen, pause every scene.
I'll be watching
every detail.
I'll be watching analytics all day long,
frame to frame.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you notice there, Rey is standing with her left foot in front of her.
I'm not going to go that bad, but her placement of the lightsaber could be important. I also saw Finn in the trailer had her staff, which I thought was very interesting. From a story standpoint. The name is also very interesting, too. There's going to be a lot to analyze there. Anyway, I'm sorry. We'll move on to another Disney property. Lion King had its first full trailer, a full 2 minute 14 seconds. So, Alex, what were your thoughts on that?
I liked it. I thought it held pretty true to the original. I know that not everybody felt like that, but I mean, the lines were the same. The voice actors they picked were brilliant. The fact that they still have the same voice actor for Mufasa is amazing.
Darth Vader himself.
James Earl Jones.
And it didn't seem like it doesn't seem like in the trailer they're like really diverting from the original. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen the movie yet, so...
Yeah,
and see, that's where it fell flat for me is... And and Kat said this a lot on the show, that I'm always hoping that they take these movies in a different direction than just a shot-for-shot remake of the original ones, because the story's already been told, and if I wanted to watch The Lion King, then this is just The Lion King with more voice actors.
I hear your point on that one. It's interesting to think about the fact that the ones that have gone out of the box have been unsuccessful.
That's what I was just thinking. So, yeah, anytime like, that they have tried to take a different direction, yeah. It just hasn't worked out for them.
It could be the wrong people in place. Like, maybe Tim Burton really shouldn't be doing these type of films. He's had a pretty poor track record now with the Alice in Wonderland franchise, and then Dumbo as well. It isn't working, but when they do something like Jungle Book or Beauty and the Beast, it's gangbusters, you know? Like, people go crazy for it. This one is different for me in the sense that it feels like I'm watching National Geographic and all of a sudden the animals start talking. It's like, holy shit, what the hell is this? And I'm down for it. There's some songs, especially upon rewatching Lion King recently, that I feel like this movie could work really well because it needs an update. I think Lion King feels dated. This could be a nice rebirth and a re-entry into the franchise. I also think we might see some stuff from the play. We might see some stuff from the play.
So. I don't know. I haven't seen the play, so I don't really know.
Well, and then maybe we'll get a song that you hear that you're like, hey, I don't know that song.
I'm wondering if they're going to use, because they did Lion King in recent years, and they actually added a song, the like Morning Report song that Zazu does.
Mm-hmm.
I know, because I own like the $50 box set of all the movies. Damn. And sometimes, yeah, no, I'm really big on Lion King. And sometimes, like, I'll watch the different versions to see what's different, and they added a song, and they've also like added a few different small scenes in between.
Okay.
So I kind of want to see if they're going to do like the remade version or stick more to like the original.
I also think that there's a point in the trailer, and maybe it's not like because of, I had a real negative experience when I tried watching Lion King recently.
Really?
Yeah, it felt aged, and it felt like it was for kids, which, shocker, maybe the movie was made for kids, but I never got that before. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know how fresh in your minds the film is, but Scar assumes Simba's dead, right? Like, mm-hmm. In the original story? Well, that's already a deviation. Because in the trailer, they reveal Scar telling Simba to leave and never come back. So he says leave and never come back and takes over that way.
Yeah, but he does the same thing in the original cartoon. And then after he tells Simba to run, he sends the hyenas after him to kill him.
Oh,
and then they
okay.
come
so
back and
they
tell him that they
So that
him.
Isn't a deviation then. It's just a scene I didn't remember. That's fair. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much is different. Are you still going to try to see this movie in theaters, do you think, or...?
I don't think I will. Even as much as I saw The Jungle Book, which was pretty good. If Christopher Walken wasn't in it, then I would have no interest, but I feel like this is kind of going to be one of the similar thing. And The Jungle Book, for me, stylistically, was a big thing. I just couldn't get over the CG elements of
it. Oh, really?
And from what I've seen from the Lion King trailers, it's almost the exact same, like, production value. So
that's a high production value.
And it is a high production value, but maybe it's too high? Maybe. I don't know. I just, for some reason, there's something about it that just seems flat to me.
Maybe it's the fact that it's lacking a style. Like, it's literally
yes.
trying... It, and that's the live-action versus animated discussion, is whether or not... What category does it really fall in when it's really all animated, but
yeah.
it's trying to replicate reality?
And I feel like even they could still keep it realistic while putting more color in it, I guess, if that... Or maybe not color...
I know
maybe
what you're
like
saying. It's
like palette diversity, or
yeah,
like,
the palette's too real. Like maybe like oversaturated a bit, so that
yeah.
Like,
yeah. And plus, like if we're doing a Plains of Africa story, like there's so many like specific choices of animals to have in scenes,
right.
where you could have an interesting
color palette.
Yeah, something. That's somebody, that's for somebody smarter than me about these things to figure out, but to the average, to like a normal.
Hey, I think the same discussion about Star Wars fatigue is the same discussion about these animated or live action reinterpretations. I think it's totally fair. I think I definitely want to see it. I like the people involved, especially. I think that Jungle Book is better than the original film. So for me, there's some merit to this. I don't love them all. I definitely don't, but I do like Jungle Book a lot. And since it's Favreau again, I have a lot of faith in what he can do. I'll be there. This time I'm not missing it out in theaters. I miss Jungle Book in theaters.
Yeah. I mean, I might go see it just because of all the people involved. Like, those are all some of my favorite people ever.
Chiwetel Ejiofor as Scar. That's the one I really like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Donald Glover is Simba for me. Yeah. And also James Earl Jones.
Do you think Simba's going to rap?
Oh, God, no.
Do you think I just want... I can't wait to be king. Really? Is going to be a rap song.
Oh, no. It better not be.
Sure? No. I mean, I would be surprised.
Hands down, that will ruin the whole movie for me.
I hope that they just omit Just Can't Wait to Be King.
Yeah.
That was a bad song rewatch. I didn't dig it.
Yeah.
I like that song.
I did. I just... As long as there's... I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts in there, I'm all happy.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. Well, let's move on to
the next trailer.
Yeah, so we got a much longer look than I had anticipated of the Joker, or just Joker. I botched it again. I'm sorry, guys. starring Joaquin Phoenix. The director's escaping me at the moment, but he was working with Scorsese initially as the concept. Yeah, I don't know that I want to lead this discussion. Patrick, you take the lead on Joker.
Ever since I heard that this was going to be a thing, I've been so excited about it. And I think Scorsese, because he was originally involved in it, is he producing it now or something like that?
Maybe.
I want to say somehow...
He's still tangentially involved in the production.
I also heard that they scrapped it, like the filming... Recently, I just heard a rumor about that. I don't have any solid sources that they went back and like almost reshot the entire movie.
Really?
Recently, so I don't know what that was all about. And once again, that's unfounded rumors. I have no solid sources on this.
Okay. I don't recall hearing that, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. There's a lot of news that's been dropping fast.
So. Either way, from the trailer, I am so excited about this. Yeah. I've known, Joaquin Phoenix is the perfect, he has the perfect body for the Joker. Out of anybody that's played the Joker, he is the few shirtless scenes he has in it are just gross. He's so emaciated and like you can see his like ribs and like, there's a great movie, The Master, where he is like essentially priming for this role. I can totally see him just like sending that movie to Warner Brothers as his audition tape because it's perfect. And so like ever since hearing that, I was like, he is absolutely perfect for the role.
For the record, Todd Phillips is the director.
Todd Phillips. Yeah. That's right.
So, Alex, what was your initial thoughts on the trailer?
I have so many things to say. You're going to hate me, Patrick. I'm so sorry. I've got like a whole list of things. I really don't like him as the Joker. First of all, I really don't think he looks so good as the Joker. And part of that issue is that they're releasing this and it's coinciding with like the release of like Suicide Squad where you see a new Joker and they're kind of creating like a Spider-Man concept where we've got, you know, Sony Spider-Man and then Marvel Spider-Man. And it's just the same thing. I honestly don't think that it looks like it's gonna be all that great. Like, it just, what little background we see in the trailer doesn't look like, I don't know, like, I guess in the comics you don't really get to know a whole lot about the Joker's background. You don't even really find out who he actually is. They never, like, name him.
Yeah, he technically, in the comic continuity, I hate that discussion, but there's no actual truth to who the Joker is.
Yeah, and so you don't really get any background on him, but you always like kind of allude to like certain ideas in your head of like what his background is gonna look like and where he maybe came from, and this just doesn't look like it's gonna fit in with any idea that I could have ever guessed.
That's interesting. That's really like hot take for somebody not really digging the trailer.
Yeah, I don't.
Do you like the makeup, like the look of the Joker, or no?
Not really. I really don't like anything about the trailer. I was super disappointed when it released.
Wow, nothing at all? Like, even his, like, pulling his cheeks apart to smile.
I mean, yeah, maybe.
I didn't think that was
cool. It feels like a little bit true to the Joker, but not 100%. I don't know.
This is weird for me. I love this trailer. I love seeing his performance. I still don't know if I want this movie. Like, this is, and it comes to a lot of what you said about the fact that we don't really have a Joker origin story, not anything official at least. I'm concerned about living in this space and hearing so much that this is the defined origin story. Like, I don't want a defined origin story for the Joker, so there's some fingers crossed that this is him recounting a story, so it could all just be bullshit. And that's my hope, because I don't want to empathize with the character. So if it is a story and, like, we feel empathetic towards him in the beginning and then we see him go complete psychotic and then we start to feel sick in ourselves because we've empathized with this person who is a complete sociopath, I like that path. I like that idea. And then hearing that it's all bullshit and then you go, oh, hands up in the air, like, that's so Joker, you know, to just, like, come up with this convoluted story. I have a lot of thoughts, though, about what the story's going to talk about, because it really seems to be an exploration of mental illness. There's, you know, you see him with pill bottles. We see the scene where he is, like, helping his mom shower, and I think that's sort of a reverse story. I think she's taking care of him, and as part of the daily routine is like, okay, honey, come on and help me get cleaned off. And it's not really, it's to give him something to do. Like, he seems to be working a menial job. He's holding a sign as a clown. And I think he wants something more, but he's been pushed down by what society thinks of people with mental illness.
Well, but that's why I mentioned, like, the cheeks pulling apart thing, because, like, it's so, like, I like it that it's not any Joker we've ever seen, because most Jokers are, like, automatically that sort of insane clown person, but he is forcing himself to smile. Like, he doesn't, that's not natural to him. Like, he starts off the movie, I think, as you're saying, like, completely down and out, and he has to, like, literally force himself to be a different person that's more accepted by a group of people.
Right.
I don't know. I gotta be honest. When I first started watching the trailer, I thought it was a fan-made trailer. I did not think it was a real trailer.
You didn't think it was, like, edited well?
No, I almost exited out halfway through because I was like, oh, this has gotta be, like, somebody messing around.
But they even do, like, a storytelling trope where he is, as Arthur Fleck and downtrodden, is trying to climb up the stairs into, like, normalcy, like, physically climbing up the stairs, and then at the end of the trailer, when he's in the makeup, he's descending into madness by choice.
Yeah.
So there's this, like, wow! I can understand not being excited about it, but, like, that seems... Like, I thought it was a beautifully done trailer, if nothing else.
No, the only reason, like, I debated exiting out was because I was like, I'm not sure this is real. Like, it looks almost like it would be real, but it also looks kind of like a fan-made trailer. Like, it doesn't look like it's going to be very well filmed.
And because I had the exact opposite thought. I loved the cinematographic tone, like, the sort of almost bright somberness that it had to it. Like, it was, like, extremely grayscale, except for, like, a few, like, way too overly bright colors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like the greens in his hair, you know, like.
And then, like, oh, man, that one shot where he's just sitting on the bed and it looks like both of his shoulders are dislocated.
Yeah.
Like, that's so, like.
It's creepy. The trailer was creepy. The way that he, like, he's scary, in my opinion, in the trailer, too, with the way he fake laughs in the stand-up,
the comedy...
Club? Yeah, Jesus, that term just completely left me. And I think that's going to be, like, the arc, is that he gets inspired by somebody in that, and so he throws away his pills and decides he wants to be a stand-up comedian, and
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure there's one scene where he's giving the smile to the little kid through the fence, and I'm pretty sure that's going to be Bruce Wayne.
Which is really dark.
Yeah.
Interesting take, too, based on what we're seeing, is that this is a Joker that formed first and then Batman formed later.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it takes place in, like, late 70s, early 80s from the time frame, like, 81-ish, probably?
Yeah, I'd even say, like, late 80s in that sort of economic boom of, like, because since Thomas Wayne is, like, the big industrialist,
it's
the sort of uptick.
So maybe closer to 84, 85.
Yeah, something like that. That's what I was thinking. Like, yeah.
I think that's also another like point to talk about with the mental illness. At that time, point in time, especially, we didn't have the knowledge that we have now.
Mm.
So I think playing with that is going to be pretty intense.
Interesting.
Cool. Well, that's a...
Sorry, guys.
No. Shit, that's...
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It's your opinion, no matter how wrong it is. It's
all right. So let's just move on to some pop culture news. So Ian Glenn, Jorah Mormont himself, has been cast as Bruce Wayne in Titans.
What? That's who it is?
Yup.
I saw that they had cast him, but I didn't really put like two and two together.
I'm freaking out about this casting because now Bruce Wayne is almost 60 years old then.
Yeah.
So we got a little bit of a Dark Knight Returns type of dark Batman going in the wrong direction.
I don't like that.
It's
at all.
Hard to picture. We've seen Jorah's descent a little bit and like weakening over time, and that might be the what's formulating, like coloring our opinions is like, unfortunately, Jorah is getting very old in the story for Game of Thrones, and.
Well, he also just doesn't, like, he doesn't look. I don't think, he doesn't even seem like, I don't know.
Like, go and look at pictures of him in his 30s, and you're like, holy shit, they drew Batman to look like him. it was uncanny. I looked at a picture and I went, oh my god, that's a Jim Lee drawing of Batman.
Titans has blown my mind as a show. Like, I didn't think I was gonna love it. Like, I thought it was not even gonna be that great, and then it, like, totally awed me, and so... I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but like, I don't know.
It's an interesting distinction because there's a lot of talking about him being Bruce Wayne and not a lot of Batman talk.
That's an interesting dichotomy. And knowing Titans too, the dichotomy is going to be a very important part of it.
And there's a good chance that maybe he's Bruce Wayne for like an episode and it's like a flashback or something, or like a flash forward sequence.
So they
play with a lot of that stuff and hallucinations in Titans as well.
Because we've already seen Batman in it.
We did, and I still don't know that. I don't think any of that sequence is real at all.
No. I don't think it is. I'm pretty sure it's explicitly not real. Like,
I think there's probably a subset of fans that think it's real. From storytelling perspective.
But that's the same subset that thinks that Barb's still alive.
Justice for Barb! Okay, sorry.
Anywho.
You got some other news as well, right?
I have a couple things more specifically DC-related.
Cool.
Here, Sean Murphy's sequel to...
White Knight.
Batman White Knight. The Curse of the White Knight finally got a release date and some teaser images. So that will be an 8-issue miniseries dropping on July 24th.
Yeah,
the summer's got a lot of stuff coming out too, because on top of that, we have the sad announcement that the finale of Batman Damned Book 3 is pushed back 4 weeks to June 19th.
Yeah. July, we also have, and this is really positive news for me. I was really excited about this. So the Walmart Giants, which have been a series of anthology books that have been through Walmart, each one has their own specific single news story, like 12 pages of new content.
Mm.
The new content is actually going to be compiled into 6-issue miniseries. Each one containing 2 of those story points. So basically 24 pages of new story. We've got Superman Up in the Sky. That'll be starting July 3rd. Batman Universe will start July 10th. And Wonder Woman Come Back to Me will start July 17th. These are really awesome. I've read the first issue of both Superman Up in the Sky and Batman Universe. Batman Universe is Bendis and Nick Darrington, who started the new Doom Patrol series.
Okay.
So really cool creative teams on these books as well. So nice. It's going to be cool to see them in comic book stores where they belong.
Yay.
Sorry, Walmart.
Yeah. Sorry, Walmart, the multinational corporation that we're taking away your sales.
You have no familiarity with these, do you? with like the Walmart Supergiants that they have.
I've just heard you and Kat talk about them too, honestly.
I didn't want to support Walmart at all, but I definitely tried to. I wanted to see. I wanted to see what the books were.
Fair enough. Yeah, and apparently they're good.
So. Yeah, I dug it. I mean, I love the out of continuity stuff. I've had said several times that continuity is what's driving me nuts. Nice. Oh yeah, we have the Young Animal phase two. Speaking of DC news, so and speaking of Doom Patrol, Weight of the Word. I can't read my own handwriting, guys. It's either Weight of the Word or Weight of the World, and I wouldn't normally think it's Weight of the World, but Doom Patrol's pretty nuts. Yeah. but it is Gerard Way coming back with his co-writer, and then there's a new artist on the book. We also have a book called Collapser, which is going to be written by Mikey Way and Sean Simon, with art by Elias... Elias K.
We got two ways.
Two ways. And yeah, I was wondering if he's related to Gerard or not, like maybe a family member. And then Far Sector by N.K. Jemison, with art by Jamal Campbell, who's doing the art of Naomi right now.
Oh,
which is a fantastic artist. And this is actually a Green Lantern series where a humanoid alien is in like the outer sectors, like the far sectors of space.
Hmm.
And that one looks super dope.
Hmm.
Alex, any thoughts on Young Animal? Have you read any Young Animal books?
Nope.
Check out Doom Patrol for sure. Like,
and
Mother Panic.
I loved all of the Young Animal stuff. Doom Patrol, Mother Panic, Shade the Changing Woman was my number one.
Yeah, you loved that.
There's a lot of DC I gotta make my way through. I still want to read the Wally West line where he's like the Flash.
Oh, it's so good.
I've heard good things.
Milk Wars too.
Oh, Milk Wars.
That was one of the best like crossover events.
It's so absurd. But this is really exciting news. Like Young Animal seemed like it died too fast.
Yeah,
so
I think they kind of wanted to. My thoughts on it was they wanted to like kill it before it went downhill, so they could then bring it back again eventually.
There you go.
You know,
having things come in cycles too is nice. You know,
like, yeah, it's cool for sure. Cool. My last bit of DC related news that I have here is that Doomsday Clock 10 is also pushed back 2 months to May 15th. So.
I don't really know what's happening with these books. I love Doomsday Clock, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, and if they need more time, if this is just like a creative thing, like they need more time to make it, then that's fine with me, because it's a great series so far, but, you know,
Also a little bit of DC stuff. Idris Elba is not playing Deadshot anymore. So he is in the Suicide Squad, but it appears that they are writing out the character of Deadshot so that Will Smith could come back and play the character again in future installments. So
When was Idris Elba gonna play Deadshot?
He got cast about 2 weeks ago-ish.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
So he got recast because Will Smith said he wasn't gonna be able to do the production. There's some sort of scheduling conflicts. And I'm going to guess that Will Smith's people were like, hey, he still wants to play the character, so...
I think he was trying to drop it until James Gunn announced that he was going to do the third one. And then Will Smith... And then they were like, okay, we got Idris Elba. And Will Smith is over there, like, running back in, like, no, wait, hold on.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of speculation who he could play, but honestly... They could just race bend anybody. And he's such a powerful actor on his own that it doesn't matter. Just give me somebody.
Yeah.
Just give me Idris Elba.
Yeah. Shit.
He could be honestly Harley Quinn.
Shirtless. Yeah. Most of the time, like shirtless with that. He makes me feel okay about going gray.
He could play Harley Quinn for all I care, honestly.
He hated his role as Heimdall.
Yeah. He did hate his role. And I think that's part of the reason he jumped to this was the idea of like being a lead in the DC properties. So. Mm-hmm. He's great. I mean, I love Idris Elba. Make him James Bond already. Fucking Christ. We're so far behind on that one.
Yeah, to be fair, until Ragnarok, his only job in Thor was to stand there with a sword and deliver lines.
But boy, like, he's great in Ragnarok. Give me like an 8-episode miniseries of that.
Yeah.
Him like funneling people and keeping them safe.
Yeah. But anyway, we can have a whole mini-sode on Idris Elba.
Pacific Rim, I love you.
Yes. So that's all the specifically DC news I have, unless you have anything else.
No, we've got some Netflix casting announcements. This is just more like, whoa. Cowboy Bebop, we've got John Cho as Spike Spiegel. Mustafa Shakir as Jet Black. Daniela Pineda as Faye Valentine, and Alex Hassel as Vicious. Yeah, I'm really happy.
Yeah.
It's a multicultural cast with an Asian lead.
Hey, yeah, sure.
Doing something right.
Yep.
Space. You've never seen Cowboy Bebop?
Nope. I have it started on my Hulu so I can start watching it, because I've heard really good things from Alex Lehman.
Gotta watch it fast. Gotta watch it fast before the Netflix show comes out. You know, you gotta have that baseline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you can be there. And
I'm wondering if they're gonna move different.
And then you gotta text me the moment you watch Mushroom Samba. There's an episode called Mushroom Samba, and it is joyous.
Okay. Joyous.
Sounds good, Matt.
Yeah. Cool. We could jump over to kind of the big news that happened yesterday, and that's Disney Plus has got some serious concrete information now. It's no longer this ephemeral thing that Disney plans on doing. It's real. It launches November 12th at $69.99 per month. Wait, I mean,
what?
$69.99 per year?
Okay.
Or $6.99 per month?
I was about to say. Yeah, that's crazy.
I was going to say, that's per month. There's no way I can afford that. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, people would have probably paid a premium price for this, but they're undercutting all of the other streaming networks. That's cheaper than DC's streaming service.
Yeah. Well,
worth it.
You know they're gonna up the prices once they get enough members.
I don't think Netflix is doing it. I don't think they need to.
Yeah.
We're talking
about like what Disney has, especially like almost at launch with this. They put The Simpsons as one of their titles that's going to be on the Disney Plus network. Yep.
That's true. They got Fox now. So.
They have Fox.
Oh my god, I didn't even think about that.
There's going to be bundle discounts if you bundle with ESPN Plus or Hulu Plus.
How are they going to match this like family-friendly thing if they have like Family Guy and The Simpsons?
I think that The Simpsons skirts a line because of the level of humor that it's had for such a long time.
I wasn't allowed to watch it growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think...
Yeah, I also wasn't allowed to watch Dragon Ball Z, but, you know, that's just parents. Watching episodes of The Simpsons, though, most of the jokes are pretty benign.
Yeah, there's not, like, cursing or anything, you know?
There's no cursing. There's really not a lot of, like, sex jokes or anything.
I mean, it's no worse than, like, people being decapitated with lightsabers.
Yeah, exactly.
And Star Wars is going to be all over that thing. In fact, some of the... I don't know if you guys got a chance to see, like, the supposed screenshot of, like, the opening page. But aside from, like, Netflix where, you know, you see your rows of the different shows, there's a top bar underneath, like, the highlighted episode that breaks sections. And we have included sections of Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and Nat Geo. National Geographic is one of the sections you can jump into, including a new show called, my brain went blank, The Collector. Jeff Goldblum explains the universe, or explains the world, is one of the original content that they're going to show for Nat Geo. Yep. Which, I mean,
oh my God.
All over that, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to go a quick hit of some of the things that have been officially announced for this. We've got Loki, with Tom Hiddleston confirmed as coming back for the character. Whoa. The Falcon and Winter Soldier. WandaVision, yes, that is the name of the show, WandaVision, and that's...
And all these are going to be the same cast?
The same cast.
The big screen?
Direct-to-streaming Lady and the Tramp live-action film. We have all of the Star Wars movies within the first year. The Mandalorian will be available on launch day. A docu-series that's going to chronicle the making of Frozen 2. I am all over that, even though I'm not excited about that movie, because watching people do animation is incredible.
Frozen 2 looks amazing. What is wrong?
I disagree.
I'm right there with you.
The Simpsons, Monsters, Inc. TV series, What If animated series, and the first story that they're doing is what if Peggy Carter was given the Soldier Serum instead of Steve Rogers?
Yeah.
Captain Marvel will be out on day one on the service, so nice. November 12th. Yeah.
And of course the Hawkeye show.
Which hasn't officially
been announced, but has been talked about.
Okay.
The Kate Bishop. It wasn't announced as part of this lineup that they have going for the advertising purposes.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I didn't have anything specific about it, but I did see a bunch about that's probably going to be a thing with...
Kate Bishop.
With...
And Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, is that the actor? Yeah. With him coming back and reprising his role. Because if we have all these tertiary Avengers in their own...
Are they going to be doing him as Ronin? Because it seems
that's like an end game. Of... He seems to be Ronan. Yeah.
So are they bringing it back, or are they doing it like the female Hawkeye?
Well, that's the thing. Is Kate Bishop is supposed to be one of the leads in this TV series if it actually happens.
But she was she was teased in the Endgame trailer.
I actually mentioned that to Amber this morning.
That would be interesting if they kept him as Ronan and then he trains her as Hawkeye and then they go straight with that dynamic into the show.
Yeah.
You know.
And the thing is, these shows can go anywhere. We could have WandaVision could be the show of them on the run before Infinity War.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, I honestly think the Falcon and the Winter Soldier is going to be a battle for the S.H.I.E.L.D. Who's going to take over the role of Captain America? And that's going to be what that series is. The Mandalorian got confirmed.
You're always right. You know this.
The Mandalorian got confirmed as an 8-episode series. So we're talking about tight, concise storytelling for these properties. And I'm sorry, yes, Disney's taking over the world, but I'm excited about this.
Yeah, the same.
Dictatorships aren't necessarily a bad thing. As long as you have a nice dictator ruling.
Right? You know? Jeez.
They're just monopolizing a little bit. It's okay.
Well, so much of the stuff that they're announcing are things I'm going to pull off of my shelf anyway when I have, like, a bad day to watch anyhow. So now I'll just load my streaming service.
The fact that they have all of Pixar on there, like, that's worth a full year's of subscription service just for me.
Yeah, and
I'm almost considering the full year now. I'm like, that's kind of worth it.
Right? It ends up being under $6 if you get the full year up front.
Yeah.
Under $6 a month for that cost. That's nothing.
Yeah.
That's saying I'm not going to get a cup of coffee for 2 weeks. You know, I'm not going to go and get my fancy latte for 2 weeks and then I'll pay for my streaming service. Yeah. That's crazy. That's such a, like, supposedly all of the Pixar shorts are going to be available at launch too.
Really?
Yeah.
So
oh, my God. What? I'm down for this.
It's also ad-free. I mean, because Disney's its own ad. I mean, that's what you're advertising is your own damn property. So there's no... And you can have multiple user profiles that are supposedly going to have avatars and things. So you'll, like, be able to build your, like, Disney character that
that's so represents cute.
You. Oh, man. Yeah. I wonder if you can do it, like, different themes, too. Like, build a Star Wars avatar.
Oh, yeah.
Build a superhero
avatar. I'm more
avatar.
And more sold on this.
I'm sure you can do it where, you can grab a Mandalorian helmet and put it on your avatar. Yeah. Like you, like what was the Xbox Live thing?
Avatar.
Yeah, turned your character completely yellow.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like
Matt Groening. Yeah, take a picture of yourself and it like Matt Groening eyes is you
right?
or something.
That's totally something they can do. This is a lot. I mean, it's a major announcement and it seems great. You tell me now that they're going to have Gargoyles and Darkwing Duck and I'm that's it. I may not need another streaming service. Stranger Things exists. I need Netflix.
At least for the next 2 years.
Yeah, that's true.
So. Oh, man.
So many exciting new things on the prospect.
Yeah, I don't know what these shows are, but I'm excited for them.
It sounds like, and if they keep these at, like, the short 8 episodes that you were talking about, it sounds like this might be what we've always been asking for, which is just, like, do all these random mini-series with all these characters. There's literally thousands of characters in the Marvel Universe that you can have a show with.
Yeah, it's insane. Well, and Kevin Feige was actually at the presentation, and he said this is going to be essential viewing. We're not doing these miniseries to be like, these are throwaway things. It's like, this is part of the Marvel story, the MCU. Hmm. So this is part of it.
And then, because they're also going to be folding in the Defenders.
Potentially.
Into that too.
Are they really?
Well, I mean, they haven't announced it at all yet, but like, let's be real here. Mm. Disney Plus announces itself right as all of the shows are being taken off Netflix.
There's a good chance it's going to be part of Hulu because they want to package these things together. And you were talking about R-rated content earlier, you know, because you mentioned Simpsons. Is you put that stuff on Hulu as long as we know that there's the Offenders miniseries that they're doing as animated shows
on
Hulu.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So you put your R-rated content, you know, you switch, you one button press. I'm sure there's a little icon that says switch to Hulu within the Disney Plus infrastructure.
That would make sense because Hulu already has a package deal with like Spotify and Showtime.
There you go.
So they just get one with Disney Plus.
And Disney owns the majority shares in Hulu. It's essentially their company now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 70% or 60%.
I think it's higher. I think it's 70-80% that they have.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easily a majority. It's not like 51% or something like that.
Well, and it's funny, we talked about last time that they didn't take Fox Sports, but if they're in this deal tied with Hulu Plus is also tied with ESPN Plus. So it's like you could basically get your one-stop shop for all of your streaming services in a bundle.
Yeah, talk about, yeah, you really want to cut cable. That's like the trinity right there.
Yeah.
Sports and entertainment.
Sports and entertainment. Sports, current entertainment, and your backlog of the stuff you were going to watch on Blu-ray anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
that's cool. Really sweet. Yeah, well, I've always hit straight to like a streaming service before I'll touch my DVDs.
Right, and I'll usually go for my Marvel movies or my like Pixar animated stuff. Is yeah. When I'm having a bad day, I'm going to throw in The Incredibles. You know, it's like...
Yeah, and I watch most things on my laptop, which doesn't even have a DVD player, so yeah. Like, I have to plug in the external and then load up the DVD. Gosh, we live in 2019, and I should be able to just, you know, think a thought, and then when the movie comes up.
Right. Cool. Well, anybody else have anything to say about that?
No.
Awesome. Well, in lieu of Top of the Stack today, we're just going to talk about some new books that came out in the past couple of weeks, some new reviews. We've got the War of the Realms #1, written by Jason Aaron with art by Russell Dauterman. This is the intro point, the main miniseries of this giant War of the Realms event, where Malekith has sort of started decimating the other realms and getting them on his side, and now he's taking it to Midgard, taking it to Earth. Pat, what'd you think?
I thought this was really good. I got a little nostalgic definitely reading it because it's Jason Aaron and Russell Dauterman, yeah, drawing it because I was a huge Jane Foster Thor fan. It was interesting. It was definitely an interesting like build because during that whole run, this thing had kind of been building up. So like when they finally dropped it, I was actually more on top. Like, I had more background knowledge on this than probably any other event so far from Marvel. So I thought this was an interesting, like, slow build to the final battle, ostensibly final battle here on Earth, bringing all the different players together.
Yeah.
Aaron did it in a really nice way, you know, like...
Spider-Man with Freya and Jane on the rooftop. Yes. Stole the show
for me. Oh my gosh, that was such a great scene. My son has spoken of you before as Man of Spiders.
Man of Spiders.
Yeah. So it was good. I don't know. I just said that I read so much of the Jason Aaron stuff before, but there's just something about him. I might read the rest of this. I'm really not a huge, like... It's really weird, like, high fantasy and comics, specifically.
Yeah.
Well, not even that. I don't know how to put it.
It's just a weird thing, because, like, magic is weird in comics.
Maybe just especially Thor mythology, specifically, is just doesn't really grab me. I don't know. So, I might read the rest of this.
Alex?
There are parts of it that were really good. I think my favorite spoilers, but the part where, like, the Frost Giant, his dad, eats Loki.
Yeah, what the fuck?
And then everybody's like, so you might not want to mess with him, because he literally did just eat his son.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and then the first 5 pages, they kill Odin.
Mm-hmm.
True.
I was like, okay, all right.
Jumped right into it.
Yeah.
What was your overall thoughts, then, on the book?
I don't know. It felt like there was a lot going on. I definitely like the interaction with Freya and Spider-Man 2, because I love how she's like, I thought that my son was exaggerating.
Jane has a sword in this one, too, right? Like, she's coming up the stairs with her hair growing out, and she's got a sword now?
Yes.
I think they're hitting at something there. I think that we're going to see, she's going to have some major part to play in this, which I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah.
They've got a lot of characters in here.
That would be great. Okay, if Jane comes back, then I'm definitely way more invested.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was pretty... That was just brutal when he eats Loki.
Yeah, that was gross. And beautiful, because it's Dauterman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, even though we know for a fact that he's not dead.
Well, of course.
Because, A, nobody dies in comics ever, but also he has a solo series coming out in the next few months.
I need more Doctor Strange in this, because I've been loving Doctor Strange recently. I finally got a chance to read the Mark Waid first story arc, and I really like where the character went and what they did. So seeing him center of the cover and hopefully that he'll be play a major part in getting everybody magical items that they need to help with these overpowered foes that they're going to have to be dealing with. Yeah. I think this read really well as a issue one. Like, this is, I think, you have a great background, Patrick, in having read the previous stuff. I'm reading the current Thor. Are you reading any of that stuff, Alex?
I read Mighty Thor, Goddess of Thunder.
Okay, so you've read, like, some of the Jane Foster stuff. Mm-hmm. Were you lost at all, or were you straight into it?
A little bit lost, just because I haven't read, like, Unworthy, and I've been meaning to read that line. But I feel like there was some... The only reason I understood who Malekith was because of Goddess of Thunder.
Okay.
But I think that there were some references that eluded me.
See, and I felt like it had enough of the actual content within the story itself to be like, you don't need all of this, but if you have been reading it, then you get a little Easter egg stuff and you got some extras there. Like, I felt like it would be really new-ish reader-friendly. You'd probably want some familiarity with the Marvel Universe, considering how many characters show up.
Yeah.
But I think it was an easy... It's like, hey, if you like these big event books, then you're going to have a fun time with this.
You can also tell there's a lot of experience with Malekith behind, like, all of the other characters.
Right.
And I mean, the only experience I've had with him was Goddess of Thunder, so, you know... seeing that they all, like, recognize who he is and exactly how bad he is.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that there's some history there that I just don't know.
They did a good job of making him feel like a threatening villain. Like, mm-hmm. his presence is bad. So, yeah. I think it's an easy recommend, too. Like, especially if you like the fantasy magic stuff in the Marvel Universe. I think that's a...
Yeah, and like I said, I'm definitely a little bit biased, but I thought it felt extremely, like, new reader friendly. Like, it wasn't, there were a few things in there that I kind of got as Easter eggs, but other than that, like, it was, none of it has really appeared too much before.
I think it does the best thing you want an issue number one to do is to give me more. What's next? What's mm-hmm. next? What's next? And that's where I thought at the end of this.
Yeah, and I think another reason that it does it well is because it's like this whole Asgardian War of the Nine Realms or Seven Realms or whatever it is. But since now they bring it here on Earth, there's plenty of humans that are like, what's going on? What's happening? And they can have the characters kind of explain it.
Hey, a dragon.
Yeah, like, why is there a dragon here? And they can be like, well, audience, since you're wondering, it's the War of the Realms.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, audience, I mean Spider-Man. What?
Of course, yeah, that's a great entry character. Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to the last review we have. Pat, you want to intro this one?
Yeah, well, speaking of Spider-Man, I guess, we have... Marvel Team Up number 1 featuring Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel.
So alright, everybody.
Yeah, this is, before we get into it, gotta give a quick shout out to Eve L. Ewing and Joey Vasquez for just an amazing book in general. But let's...
Everybody open your first page.
And then spin it around.
Well, no, just everybody open your first page right now. 1, 2, 3, open it.
Oh.
All right, who's your character?
I got Ms. Marvel, actually.
I got Spider-Man.
Nice.
So that's a big allure of the book, is the fact that you can start it from either side.
Yeah, so it's the two of them, and there's the two stories, and the end of the comic is actually in the middle on, like, the staple page, and that's where we get the to be continued, and then you flip it over, and then you start from the other side and read the other story.
It's so good.
I love experimentation comics like this. Like, regardless of whether or not the story was good, which it is, it's actually a really fun story, is the fact that they allow you to do this. Like, mm-hmm. It's so easy to show this, and this is a book that I think is fine for, like, for teenagers, even though it's rated T+, is to show somebody who's, like, 12 or 13, and like, hey, check this out, and then flip it over. They're like, what is that? You know, like, and immediately puts it in their hands as something that would be fun to play around with. And
I just realized the team that does the work on this is only on one side.
It is only on one side. I realized it as we were flipping them around talking about it.
The team's on one side.
Yeah, because you guys were reading it, and I was like, where are you seeing that?
Yeah.
But the price tag is on the other side.
Oh, that's funny.
So, so they usually have them both on the same side, but I noticed that they split
them
up.
That's really cool.
Because I was like, oh, it looks like the Spider-Man's the first one, but then I was like, oh, wait, no, they have the creative team on the Ms. Marvel one, but, like, the barcode.
That's so cool.
And the layout of it, too, it's not, like, you flip it over and you have to read, like, open the book from the other way, like, manga style. Like, the way it's formatted is that both of them read from left to right, like, typical, like...
Yeah.
That's why I was confused. I thought I was going to have to continue it manga style when I first grabbed it. Is this going to be a continued series?
It is. It's an ongoing. I don't know if it's all going to be about Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel, but at least we'll be getting more of this story.
It says to be continued. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this one will
be. I've seen cover art for at least up to number 3.
Okay.
So.
I really had fun with this.
Yeah, and the parallel, like, I mean, obviously it's a parallel story, or like, but like, what they talk about, you know, like, Peter's all like, oh, it's so hard to adult, and Kamala's like, it's so hard to kid.
Yeah.
You know? And both of their friends, like, are like, well, you know, both of them are putting him in check, like, pretty much the other way. Like, you don't want to be a kid, and you don't want to be an adult.
I was honestly surprised that it was adult Peter Parker that we were seeing. I thought we were totally going to see, like, also teenager Peter Parker in the story when I first, like, picked up the book.
Yeah.
So I think it creates a better dynamic, him being an adult and her being a kid.
Yeah. It's like their current version. I felt like the characterizations really were right. You can speak more to Ms. Marvel than I can, Pat, but it felt like it was the versions of the characters that are correct.
They definitely got Spider-Man down to a T.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like that one, the second to last panel, when they, spoilers because it's review shows, but when they switch bodies, that's like some of the best written, like, characterizing dialogue is when Ms. Marvel from Spider-Man's body is like, oh, I feel like an orc stomped on my head, and Spider-Man replies, geez, kid, did you have... Take, you know, breaking the glass ceiling, so that, like, just like him saying geez kid from her body and her saying, right, like, referencing an orc, you're like, oh, that's, yes, those are both very,
oh my god, how are they gonna deal with this secret identity thing too?
I was just thinking about that at the end, like, especially because, like, that's what they both asked for, you know. Kamala wants to be an adult and Peter wants to be a kid again, so like, I'm hoping that they have her try to go and, like, pay rent or something, and him getting yelled at by, like, her parents for not doing the dishes. Oh, my gosh.
And they could, if they want to go deep, having to deal with her faith and, like, her family dynamic. Like, Pete is probably very dumb when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that would be funny if they go to, like, they, like, you know, force him to go to to mosque or whatever.
Right?
And,
oh my God.
And everyone, you know, gets down to bow at the same time, and he's still just standing there in her body, like, looking around. Oh, yeah, of course. That would be pretty funny. Oh, and I did love that bit, too, when she literally breaks the glass ceiling. That's
such a funny little moment.
And it's such a great, like thing for her, too, because she's teaming up with Spider-Man in this. This is, like, she is now part of the Marvel pantheon of, like, the gods of superheroes.
Yeah.
So.
I also, cool artwork by Joey Vasquez, really a reflection of Into the Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm. Like, you're seeing some of the bright colors and then the speed lines and the dot shadows. It was like, this is the first time I've seen a comic that really felt like a reflection of that. You know, it's like, that did it so well, and it happened to Spider-Man as one of the characters in it. So.
Mm-hmm. And also, I liked how the fight scene, like, when they finally, like, met up and got to each other, the whole thing is the exact same sequence, just from different
angles.
Yeah, I really like that.
Good storytelling.
Great story. I'm definitely going to pick up number 2.
Super. I know. I wasn't planning on taking a look at it, but...
It's fun.
Now that I've read it, I'm buying it.
That's me. Comics should be fun, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, some comics should be fun.
Yeah. Other ones you just want to be done brooding. Oh, man. Anyway, well...
Eat your tacos.
I think we have to get out and brood some now.
Anyway. I'm going to go watch Spider-Man and then Star Wars trailers.
Yeah, with that, let's all say goodbye in the gruffest voice possible. All right.
Oh, God.
Bye.